Taking my reading from 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 through 2:2. 1 John 1, 6 through 2:2. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world.
Good news, and there is bad news. The bad news is that a problem exists. The good news is that there is a solution to the problem. The bad news is sin. The good news is the blood of Christ. The bad news is that every one of us has sinned and falls short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The good news is that the blood of Jesus Christ can give redemption to everyone through the riches of his grace, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. There is not a one of us here this morning who can really comprehend the enormity of the problem of sin. And yet perhaps there is not a one of us here this morning who can really comprehend the greatness of the blood of Christ in taking care of our sins. It would seem that if people really knew the good news about the blood, that they would be interested in doing something about the bad news of sin. And yet that's not always the case. Why is that so? I think at least one contributing factor is that we may not always allow ourselves to understand when sin is sin, when sin becomes sin. Especially during the times in which we are living, it may be the case that we are allowing ourselves to believe that sin sets in when we are caught or when it is known and not before that. And perhaps many of us are selling ourselves a bill of goods that as long as it's not known, it isn't sin. As long as it's not broadcast, it isn't sin. As long as it doesn't result in something that is really bad, it isn't sin. When is sin sin? There are at least three times in the Bible where an individual made the statement, "I have sinned." You won't find that said many times, because it is not easy for us to admit that we have sinned. I don't like to say I have sinned. I don't like to say I am wrong. I don't like to say I have made a mistake. And I don't think you really do either. We have the case of Achan in Joshua 7, who said, "I have sinned." There is the example of David in 2 Samuel chapter 12, where he said, "I have sinned." And there is the case of the son that we call the prodigal son in Luke 15, where it is recorded that he said, I will say I have sinned, and then he did say, I have sinned. Someone has remarked, and perhaps rightly so, that in neither of these cases, in fact, in no case in the Bible, do we ever have a situation where somebody says, I have sinned, except under very dire circumstances. It was only after, with the help of God, that the situation was narrowed down and narrowed down to where Achan was pointed out that he said, I've sinned. It was only after Nathan hit David between the eyes with the little story about the ewe lamb that David finally said, I have sinned. And it was only after the son who left home had come to live in the mire of the hog pen that he finally came to himself and said, I will admit that I have sinned. In neither of these cases was it easy. And in neither of our cases is it easy. But examine with me for a moment this morning these three examples with the question in mind, when is sin sin? When did the sin of Achan take place? And by the way, if I were going to identify his sin with one word, I would use the word greed. When did sin take place in the case of Achan? You may remember that in reading about the sixth chapter of Joshua, you have the story of the fall of the city of Jericho. You remember that great event, how the children of Israel were told to march around it each day and then seven times on the seventh day, and what they were told to do, that the walls would come down, and the walls came down. They conquered one of the greatest cities that existed at that time. Then, in the next chapter, went up to the city of Ai, a very small city, and were soundly defeated. The children of Israel have sinned, the Bible says, in addition to the one man involved. The group as a whole are identified as having sinned. This is the reason Joshua couldn't understand. It took the help of God to narrow it down to a certain tribe and then to a certain family, and eventually Achan was identified. Is that when the sin took place? When Achan was identified? Had there been any sin up until that point? Joshua didn't know where it was. He didn't know who it was. He did not know exactly what had happened. And so now Achan is identified. Is that when the sin took place? I don't think so. So there's the conversation with Achan. He probably was reminded that God had said, when you go into the city of Jericho to take it, do not take any spoils. And then Achan admitted, well, I saw a Babylonish garment that I really wanted, and I saw 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, I believe of 50 shekels. And he said, when I saw these, I took them. In fact, he makes a double statement there. He says, I coveted them and I took them. Folks, isn't that when the sin took place? Not at the time that Achan was identified. Not at the time that Joshua talks to him about it. Not at the time that he was punished later on with a very severe punishment of death itself. When was sin sin? He said, I coveted them and I took them. I made the statement in a conversation the other day that I believe to be true. I believe the number one problem in America is greed. Now, there are some other rather large problems, but I think if you'll be honest with yourself and analyze the situation, that you can trace many of the other problems back to this one. I really believe that the biggest problem we have among people in general today is the problem of greed. And I'm also persuaded that most of us have a bigger problem with that than we're willing to admit. And maybe many of us are able to hide it somewhat like Achan did. We may have cheated the government, for example, on April the 15th. And we've been able to cover it up in such a way that nobody else knows it. And the government may not check us out. The IRS may not audit us. And so it's never known. Nothing is ever said about it. If we have cheated, is it sin, even though it is not found out? Or maybe we take something that belongs to someone else. And I even think of this sometimes when I read about businesses, that most businesses put in an item to cover that which is taken home by their employees. And I wonder what a pile of things we would have if we had all that is taken home from the schools in this county that is purchased by taxpayers' money and carried home by children and used by them and their parents. And yet nobody ever knows about it. It is hidden. Nobody knows about it. The entire people suffer because somebody's got to replace these things, and yet nobody knows about how we may specifically be involved. When did Achan sin? Folks, he sinned when he took it, not when he was caught. And probably even sinned before that when he coveted that which he took. Because covetousness is a sin, you see. And so when he saw these spoils in Jericho and decided, oh, I want them, he sinned. And he took them and sinned. If he had seen them and said, oh, those would be nice to have, but God said, don't take them, he wouldn't have sinned. I think he could have even said, you know, I would really like to have something like that, but under the circumstances, I can't, and so I need to avoid them and yield not to temptation. I don't believe even the temptation to have taken them would have been a sin, but he coveted them. And his covetousness was strong enough that he took them. That's when he sinned, when he coveted and when he stole that which God said you're not to have. When is sin sin? It's not when we're caught. It's when it happens. Go with me now over to 2 Samuel, to the case of David. You know the story. You have read many times how that David looked over on the roof and saw Bathsheba, saw that she was a beautiful woman, and wanted her for himself to the extent that he sent someone and had her brought to him. He then fulfilled his desires for sexual satisfaction with her and sent her home. Sometime later, she let it be known to him that she was with child, that a child had been conceived from this relationship, the fulfillment of their sexual desires that had taken place. A child had been conceived and was on its way. David then began to look for ways to cover this up so that it would not be known. And he came up with the idea that if he could get her husband to spend some time with her, so that later on when the child was born, people would begin to rationalize that her husband was at home with her at this time, that it would not be known that he was the father of the child. Uriah wouldn't cooperate with him and would not go home and spend time with his wife at a time when his associates were on the battlefield. And so David had to come up with another idea, and he conspired to have Uriah put into a position to be killed. He did not with his own hands kill him, but the next chapter says he killed him. He conspired to have him killed. And then eventually took Bathsheba to be his wife, and if we went on into the rest of the story, we'd see some additional problems. But the question, when is sin sin? Was it a sin of murder when it was known that David had conspired to have Uriah killed? Or when he was in the process of conspiring to have it done? When he sent out the orders to have Uriah put into a position that he would be killed, was it sin there? Was it even sin when he began to come up with the idea to use Uriah to cover up his mistake and to put him into a position to try to make it such that nobody would know about David's mistake? When was sin sin? And folks, was the sin of fornication committed when the baby was born? Was the sin of fornication committed when Bathsheba told David she was pregnant? You know, you look at what's happening today. Sometimes even among those who claim to be Christians. And there doesn't seem to be so much concern about what happens unless there is conception. And then people begin to awaken and look at the situation. Folks, listen to this statement. Birth is not sin, and conception is not sin. Sexual intercourse between two people who are not married to each other is sin. That's when it happens, whether or not there is conception or a birth. And in this case, as also indicated by the teaching of our Lord in Matthew 5:32, even when one looks upon another with the desire to fulfill lust in the sin of fornication, it is sin. He has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Plug the story of David into the teaching of Jesus. David committed sin when he looked upon Bathsheba and had committed adultery in his heart, and then committed an additional sin when he had her brought to him and had a sexual relationship with her without God's approval, without it being right in the sight of God. That is when sin was committed. And folks, that's when it's committed today. And if you think that you can get out on a date or even get away from your spouse on Saturday night and commit an act that is identified in the sight of God as fornication, and that it will be all right unless there is conception and a birth, or conception and an abortion, you are hiding your eyes in the sand. When is sin sin? Not at birth, not at the conception, but with the sexual act and with the sexual desire. Now, the prodigal son. He may have been involved with some of the same type of actions as David. I couldn't prove it one way or the other. The Bible identifies what happened to him as riotous living, and his older brother accused him of being involved with harlots. If I were guessing and speculating, I would speculate that he probably was, but I can't prove it. I can prove without any doubt that he had the problem of selfishness that resulted in what's called righteous living. When did he sin? Look at him in the pig pen. Here's a young man in deep trouble. He's got problems. And he comes to realize that sin is involved. Is that when sin took place? Is that when this young man sinned, when he finally went into the hog pen and got into the mire of life to the very lowest that one could go? Is that when sin took place? No. I believe you can go so far back as to the conversation with his father. He said, "Dad, give me that which falleth to me. I don't want you to use it for a while, and then when you have used it and you no longer need it, let it come to me, as would be the normal case. I want it, and I want it now. I want to get away from home, and I want to do some things that I want to do. And so I want my money, and I want it now, and I'm leaving home." If that's not a case of selfishness, where would you find it? Whatever his specific problems were in his riotous living, I don't think there's any question but that he was interested in fulfilling his own desires and having his own pleasure. Whether it had to do with the physical relationship or whether it had to do with what money would buy or having the money or spending the money, we would have to speculate on some of that. But I don't think there is any speculation on the point that he wanted what he wanted. He had the attitude of selfishness. When did that sin exist? I suggest to you that you can go back to the very time that he requested it. The attitude that he had when he went to his father was a problem even at that time, and from then on it's just a progression of one thing into another. Folks, we've got to get back and realize when sin is sin. And it's not down yonder at the far end when we get into the worst mire that one can get. Many times it's back here at the beginning. When we have the wrong attitude, we have unlawful desires, and especially when we fulfill those desires even in the shades of night and the darkness of having it hidden, it is still sin. There is the good news that there can be forgiveness, especially in the case of David. I think some of the greatest comfort that we find is being able to go back and see how serious the sins of David were and then see that God called him a man after his own heart. God forgave him. To read something like the 51st Psalm, where you can just almost see the tears on the page as you read it with the attitude of David as he changed. It took a lot to get him to see that he was the man. He had to be told, "You're the one I'm talking about." And sometimes today it seems like it's going to take that with some of us to God simply look at us and say, "You're the one I'm talking about." But at least he repented and he received forgiveness. And the prodigal son, who seemingly went about as far away from home as you can go, repented. And he went back home and he said of sin, and he received forgiveness. That's the good news. How great that good news is. And when each of us looks in his life today, we'll see some sin. We may not see the same sin that Achan committed, or the same one that David committed, or the same one the prodigal son committed. But we'll see sin. And we need to be able to look into our lives and see when that sin begins and see what sin is and see when sin is sin. Because it's possible and highly probable that some of us are going to face God at the day of judgment and lose our souls because we didn't realize when sin is sin. Look at your life this morning. I emphasize again the good news of the blessings that are in the blood of Christ for forgiveness. But folks, we just have to emphasize the bad news. That is, with sin, it can kill us, it can condemn us, it can send us to destruction for an eternity if we don't turn to the good news of the gospel and take care of it in the blood of Jesus Christ. And perhaps the biggest thing that all of us need to do is what is said about the prodigal son. He came to himself and he said, I've sinned. Folks, let's not wait till the judgment to come to ourselves. Let's not wait until it is too late to come to ourselves and to realize when sin is sin and deal with it with the blood of Jesus Christ. Some need to be baptized today for the remission of all past sins and be added to the Lord's church. Some may need to ask for forgiveness for sins committed as a Christian. If either is your need, realize when sin is sin and turn to the good news of the blood of Christ to take care of it. While together we stand and sing.
Sinners Jesus will receive, sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly